Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Poetry with Flavor. This is your host, Miss Lucy. It's been a while since I was last on here, and I apologize, but the challenges of life sort of ganged up on me, and it took a minute to get through it. Tonight I'm going to, what I'm trying to do is focus on our beautiful black men. And of course, you know how things go with me. I dropped my notebook and the stupid pages came out, but I think I have them. Most of what you'll hear tonight will be poems about the black man. But, okay. It'll be a little mixed, but anyway, I'm going to start with, this is called Blues is Black. Blues is black. More than listening to Ma Rainey, John B. Hooker, or Bessie Smith, blues is black, naturally black, grown deep in the bones and muscles. Blues is black, blue-black, slave bodies, sweated and bled the blues. Blues is black, black pain of chains, disfiguring, molesting, and scarring black bodies. Blues is black, like the heavy weight of the mallets, lifted and swung by the chain gangs. Blues is black, bloody black, like the bowels of the Mississippi River. Blues is black, knowing slavery has only changed its name to prison industrial complex. Blues is black. Black like the target on black boys' backs. Blues is black, like the pain of a black student's A work receiving a C, code for colored. Blues is black, like training someone to take the promotion you deserve. Blues is black, like black hair is threatening to wear it naturally. Can cost you your job. Blues is black. Black like the president who gets no respect, called monkey, called nigger. Blues is black. Living black. Breathing black. Being black. Living under constant attack and suspicion. Blues is black. Black as a starless night. Black as a moonless sky. Blues is black, purple black, like the bruise on a racist heart that forever seeks my demise. Blues is black, black hands clasped in prayer. Oh God, Lord Jesus, hear our cries and deliver us from this evil. This is all titles, labels, money, and such. Don't give me a title. No, sir, no, ma'am. Mr., Mrs., Ms. is all most folks can stand. Some folks get a title, and it goes straight to their heads. Start acting real funny, like they got a stiff neck. Can't see the friends they stepped on. For writing big book labels, things, and money are the loves of their life, honey. Love of family and friends is vital. So please don't give me a title. No, sir, no, ma'am. Mr., Mrs., Ms. is all most folks can stand. Some folks get a title, and it goes straight to their heads. Makes me so mad and dizzy. I go straight to bed. This is called patriotism, and the general assumption of some people in this country believe we have contributed nothing, yet black men and women have been in every war that this country has fought. This is called patriotism. First, only in battle. Say we should feel honored, question our patriotism, must prove by being cannon fodder. More than an equal opportunity to die. Never an equal opportunity to live. But yet, we pledge allegiance. Okay. This next poem, Mr. Melvin Slick Johnson, and I think most of us know a character like this within the family or within the friends group who's never really grown up and finds out too late. Mr. Melvin Slick Johnson, he was a bad motor scooter. Everybody knew his name. Designer suits and silk shirts were the trademarks of his game. He was a bad dap daddy. Kept his dues sleek and fine, like black patent leather. His locks were greased and spit shined. He was a bad mama jamma. 4 gold caps on his smile. Never mind he never visited or spent a dime on his child. He was a bad lover man. We talked a whole lot of skirts. A love him and leave him sugar daddy. He left a long trail of hurt. He was a lonely old fool who eventually reaped what he sowed. He thought he'd always be cool. He thought he'd never grow old. Okay, let's see.
I'm sorry, I tuned in late, Miss Lucy.
Oh, God bless you for tuning in. I'm glad to know someone is listening. How are you?
I'm doing well. I hope you are.
Yeah, trying to make it through. The challenges seem to get harder, you know. But you just gotta keep pushing through. Okay, this one is called Positively Black. Being black is like a fine wine and feeling good and dressing to the nines. Anticipation of my lover's touch, never getting enough of him, never hollering stop too much. Being black is like being in touch with Mother Earth, with the soil, never calling it dirt, never spitting on it, only caressing it, planting seeds in it, feeling its deep, dark richness and fertileness, warmth and protectiveness, like when I gave birth from your love seed. Being black is like love, that deep, heavy, sweet, sour, funky love, that you feel nauseated over, but wouldn't give it up if you died from it. Okay. I'm going to read. I seem to give myself a reaction every time I pick up a poem that I know has to do with a painful time in my life when I was going through a divorce. But anyway, here's the story behind this poem. When things were really, really bad in the situation, my ring would get tighter and tighter. And I mean, it actually did get tighter and tighter around my finger. And I even ended up with a rash under the ring. And that's how my pain manifested itself, that something is wrong and something's got to change. But anyway, so I wrote this. It's called With This Ring. The gold bag, the gold bag with diagonal slits of silver shining through was a promise of love eternal, only brings me $20 at the pawn shop. The little over a carat diamond, classic cut and silver setting, he gave me in repentance for his multiple affairs, brings far less. Only $5. Upon close examination by the pawn shop owner, he reveals it's cubic zirconium set in polished steel. The finger, left hand ring finger, knew before I did that he was a loser. It tried to show me so many times, breaking into rashes under the band by tightening around my finger, forcing me to use dish liquid to take them off and giving my finger first aid. And when all cleared up, I put my rings back on, only to have the symptoms reappear, always a slow learner.
That's a beautiful poem, Lucy.
That was a painful poem.
Yeah, but it's a beautiful poem.
Well, I thank you. Let me do this little one. This also has to do with that same topic. It's called When Love Hurts. And this is, when I read this, I have to make myself not laugh because in today's world, when you hear about these young people, you know, when they break up and stuff, how they, you know, they break car windows or they beat each other up, all that kind of real extreme stuff, okay? Well, this is old school. How to Get Your Revenge. I should change the title to How to Get Your Revenge, Old School. Well, anyway, it's called When Love Hurts and You Don't Know How to Use Social Media for Revenge. Loosen the threads on one or both sides of his zipper. Mix castor oil in his salad dressing. Make a small slit in the seat of his pants. Cut his shoestrings near the top of the shoe. Empty his cologne bottle and refill with vinegar. Loosen the buttons on his shirt. And that chocolate cake with chocolate icing that he can't get enough of, next time, bake it with X-Lax.
I like that.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Oh,
that says.
I knew X-Lax was coming when you said chocolate, that chocolate that he can't get enough
yes.
of. I knew that was coming.
Let me see. I'm sorry. I'm pushing these on. Okay. Juke joint. I'm sure there's still some juke joints around. You know, usually, well, back in the day, they were, you know, just clapboard little sheds, really, that were big enough to house about 30 people and, you know, mixed match chairs. the main thing was to have that floor where you could dance, you know.
That's right.
And
that
then, and then you had that little side place where they made like a bar and everybody bring their own mayonnaise jar, you know, for a glass. But anyway, I never really finished this poem. I need to redo it, but juke joint. The square-framed clapboard building stood in the middle of a grassless lot, filled with cars and trucks that had pounded the earth into a fine dust, which covered every pair of shoes that walked this path. It didn't matter. It's where everybody was and where some folks shouldn't have been. And you know how they were like in the woods, like back up off the road, you know?
Everybody knew about that.
There's one still standing over by our church.
Really?
Is one there?
Yeah, it's still standing now, right off Robinson Church Road.
Oh, my goodness.
Robinson.
You gotta
I remember the little, that's what we call it, too, the juke joint.
Yep, that's what it is.
I got to get a picture of that.
Well, it's still standing.
On Robinson Church Road.
Yep, on Robinson Church Road, right up from the intersection where Rocky River crosses it. Right up from that intersection. But I can give you more directions one day, but it's still over there. Right up from Bundy's house.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Oh, they okay.
Yeah, some of the members showed me.
Well, I
that was it. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Okay, this is called, what is this called? It's called Envy. I'm just going to read the papers as I come to. This is called Envy. Honey child, she come in with them collard green eyes. You know what I'm talking about, girlfriend? Jealousy. Let there be no doubt. But that's the price she's got to pay for always telling her man lies. Now, she's staring me down because all he's got eyes for are my cornbread thighs. That's bad. This one is called Church Span. And I remember, you know, back in the day, when we didn't have any air conditioning or anything, but you were given fans as you came in the church, you know. And Jesus was white and had blue eyes and long hair.
I
always wondered.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is really short, but it's just called Church Span. I always wondered, whilst I cooled and fanned and paused at the picture on the backside of the breeze, why has my Jesus got those blue eyes and don't look nothing like me? That's all that is. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's true.
Yeah.
That's all we used to see.
That's it.
And still today, in a lot of places, it's still there. Still there. you know, we are, I don't want to get, I usually listen to the news nonstop, and I just had to make myself stop. But today, I just heard this thing, a six-year-old and a 12-year-old robbed a lady of her phone.
That's right.
And
I
this
heard
in
you.
Broad daylight. Did you hear
yeah.
that? And how they did
yeah,
it? They asked, could they borrow the phone? And they took off with it, and they used I forgot what you call the gun. They had a gun, not a gun, but they had
a BB gun.
A BB gun that looks like a real gun. And they
right.
took off with the lady's phone. It is just, the devil is loosened. That's all I can say, you know.
And that
I'm
BB gun looked just like a real phone.
Looked just like a real gun.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? Those kids are lucky. Because what if that lady that they robbed had her own gun?
That's what
and
I just,
you know what I'm saying?
New.
It is just
That's
terrible.
What I just told somebody. And then if you call yourself shooting to protect yourself, then everybody would be upset. But that BB gun looked like a real gun.
Looked like a real gun. America
they,
is messed up.
They can hurt you.
Sure can.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, even with a BB gun, she could have put the lady's eye out or something, you know?
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
It shot it. But just the 6 years old and 12 years old, I just can't get over that. I'm going to do this, and I've done this a million times, but this poem was written so long ago. It makes me mad because here we are 20, 30 years later, and it's the same thing when I think about that six-year-old and that 12-year-old. Black apocalypse. Children dying. Black brains frying off the dope put in the veins. Men abandoning their seeds. Streets turning bloodstained. Little girls get their menses before they can even spell their names and get caught with spotted panties because they don't understand why or what, and nobody has the time to explain. Daddy's gone, and mama's too busy trying to make a dollar out of a dime. And so the children give birth to babies that become the next lost generation without direction, growing like weeds, waiting to be Kim Lawed to death.
Mm.
Man, it makes me
yeah,
sad.
That's true.
Yeah.
So sad.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. This is kind of funny. And this I've read a million times too, but Saps Arising. Little bro started taking more than his usual once-a-week Saturday night bath. And daddy's cologne mysteriously began to evaporate. And his good leather belt seems to have disappeared. Little bro's jeans now had to have a razor-sharp crease. His tennis shoes gave way to brown leather loafers and sweatshirts that he swore never needed washing, were replaced by handsome button-down shirts and all night, every night basketball games came to a halt. Says he doesn't like the press fire anymore. His nails, once black with Lord knows what, now are carefully manicured. I said, Mama, what's going on with that boy? She laughed and mumbled, Saps Arising. Old honey boy is just smelling himself, sniffing the wind and smelling himself. Okay.
I remember that phrase that people would say, they're just smelling themselves.
That's
yeah,
right. I remember
yeah.
too.
Yeah, they said the girls or boys, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They said it for both of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. You know I'm flipping pages. What is
it? Oh. It wouldn't be you if you weren't flipping pages.
Well, you know, I dropped my notebook. I actually had, I would say, 3/4 organized and got one of those real big four-inch ring notebooks that you can put a lot of paper in it. And I dropped the daggone thing, and of course the page fell out. So anyway, okay, this is the, let me see, enough said. It stems from the home, Mama says. Yeah, the White House, I say. Wedding dress must be virginal white. Bridal cakes with white icing. Formal invitations on embossed white paper. Business stationery, more authoritative on white. Diplomas, printed on white, tied with a gold ribbon. White hospital walls and gowns are more sanitary. Bleach the wheat to make white bread. Bleach the grain to make white rice. Devil's food cake is chocolate. An angel's food cake is white. Sell your women in ads that lie and entice. Playboy whores are called ladies. And gentlemen prefer blondes who wear white shoulders perfume. And blondes do have more fun when they've shampooed with white rain shampoo. Pale hands wearing white diamonds at the expense of bent black backs. The Star of Africa, fitted into a crown, worn on the head of a pale-faced queen. White knights to the rescue, as black children ask where white Santa, ask white Santa for their dreams, and white angels on the Christmas tree, their hair falling in streams, protected by militarily dressed white soldiers, parading as nutcrackers whose job it is to crush black and brown nuts, especially those ones called niggatos. European education for all to learn how to be white or create the desire to be white. Blue-eyed Jesus and white Christian religion used to pacify and enslave. Communion given in church, covered in white drapes, to receive a white wafer to cleanse your filthy black soul. Elegant dining is when waiters wear white gloves and serve food on white doilies, and a white Easter bunny brings white chocolate candy. And white-collar jobs are symbols of success. In the game of pool, the objective is to knock the black eight ball into the pocket. And your dictionary definition of white says it is pure, innocent, and spotless. So I guess little white lies are harmless. Like black Mickey Mouse has vitiligo, and the bad guys wear black hats. And white witches are good ones, and black witches are evil, and the white smoke from your cigarettes won't ruin my lungs. And it's okay to say New World Order when it looks the same to me, white faces in charge of a world full of faces of color, and black is only good for funerals, Nuss said.
Mm.
Okay.
I never thought about it that way in terms of funerals. the color black.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why now wear whatever color you want to wear.
That's right. Because
right.
In our day, right. Everybody wore black.
That's yeah. Right.
Uh-huh.
And
and if you showed up with a bright color on, you know, people would look at you strange.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the widow.
Sexual.
Yeah, didn't the widow wear black for a long time?
Uh-huh.
Oh, she
did. Yeah. Yeah, back then.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't come out in nothing other than black.
Right.
Okay, let me see. While I'm looking, I need to ask a question about if you get a laptop, is there something special you have to do to plug it up? Or you have to let your cable people add that to your bill or something?
No, you don't. All you do is you know what if you got internet, you know what your password and the name of your internet. You just go to your laptop and let it know that there's an internet available, and you just log on.
Okay. I don't know why I have such a block in my head about technology. Okay.
I have it too. You're not the only one.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's a pain. It changes so quickly. It used to change like every 6 months, and then it got to 3 months, and now there's something new every day.
Yeah, you just wait
my
to
phone.
And
say that again.
Go ahead.
I was going to say.
You just wait to AI come on. I mean, it's already here.
I was getting
here.
Ready to say. It's already here. It's already
AI.
On your phone.
Yeah, AI
something
is
called chatbot. It's terrible. I think it's
One fast food restaurant is getting ready to make use AI for their drive-thru. It won't be a human being you'll be talking to.
I hope they get the orders right.
You know. And I mean, a prime example is Walmart. They don't have any cashiers anymore. They may have one.
That's
everything
right.
is going through the self
right.
self check thing. And they had somebody on the internet anyway said that their cameras are so powerful that it can look through your wallet. That
oh,
it, like
no.
if you have cards stacked, I'm telling you, look it up on the internet about Walmart's cameras and how Walmart's got cameras all through their building, up top, on the side, in the shelving, I'm telling you, it's too scary for me. It's just too much. Well, okay, I'm gonna. What time is it? Let me see. What time is it? Oh, it's only 7:30. Okay. I'm gonna read this. This was I had two boyfriends in my life, my daddy and my granddaddy. I'm telling you, those were just two excellent men that I wish
mm-hmm.
could have been duplicated for me, you know?
mm-hmm.
But, my mother and father met at Livingstone College in Salisbury, North Carolina. And so Daddy's nickname was BB, which stood for Baltimore Boy. And my mother's nickname was Cottie because her last name was Cottrell. So anyway, I said all that because it's in this poem. It's just called Daddy. 99% of the time I can't read just without getting teary-eyed. But Daddy, I remember how you watched over me and my baby sister, Connie, how I would tell you when her diaper turned brown and you would rush to change her, singing, "I got the blues," as you ran to the bathroom to dunk her achievement. For those of you who don't know, diapers weren't always made out of paper. They were made out of cloth, and mm-hmm. you had to dunk the poop in the toilet, and you'd have to soak those diapers and wash them and hang them up and use them again. But anyway, Daddy, I remember pretending to be asleep when you came home from work at night, just so you would have to carry me up to bed and tuck me in, and how at morning's light, you were in the kitchen making all bran muffins, and I got to grease the pans. Daddy, I remember how you protected your daughters, escorting us everywhere, questioning the motives of knuckleheads and giving them a stern warning. How sometimes you would let us listen to rock and roll on the car radio when Mama wasn't with us, and we'd forget to reset the dial to Mama's favorite station. Daddy, I remember and our trips to Lexington Market, and you bought your favorite chocolate drops with cream centers, and I got a bag of chocolate chip cookies. How you love to eat, especially soul food and liver and rice with gravy, and how you sop up every bit with your bread. And when I would turn my nose up, you'd say, "Lou, you don't know what good food is." Then you'd eat your Jell-O, drowned in canned milk, and I'd say, "Yuck," and you'd keep right on eating. Daddy, I remember our yearly family trips to Ohio and how for 500 miles you pointed out every cow to me and told me the spotted cows gave chocolate and white milk. I remember your Old Spice cologne and wingtip shoes, your gentle laugh, how you'd cock your head to the side, and how I loved it when people called me Daddy's girl. Daddy, I remember. I remember how you loved my mama, your wife, and you called her Cottie, and she called you BB for Baltimore boy. What a good-looking couple you made. You tall, dark, and handsome. She fine-boned and yellow. And how you both taught us our roots and to walk tall and to be kind and helpful to others. Daddy, I remember when you said, "Look out for your mother." Did you know then you were leaving us? I remember, Daddy, and Mama's doing fine. I love you, Daddy, and I'll always remember you as a gentleman and a gentleman. Okay. You know, I just turned around and looked at my front door because I have a baseball bat. You know, that baseball bat is from the 1930s. My father used to walk us to school with that baseball bat. So, dude, so nobody would bother us. Anyway, okay. This one, this is my other best man in my life, my grandfather. His name was Lorenzo Rushmore Cottrell. He was born on Valentine's Day in 1898, and he passed in 1993. But I just call this legacy. Okay, your frame is smaller, thinner, but in our eyes, you tower to the great heavens, not always able to be among us, yet you were, your presence ever there. You are in our faces and in our love. Your voice is within our thoughts. You are in our strength and in the face of weakness, but a thought of you explains the power of having roots. Given false promises by a world that would deny you, last hired, first fired, you face their lies with integrity. Against their countless indignities, you stood with great pride. They couldn't steal your soul or make you numb. For you, uncompromised, never forgot how to weep tears of love and joy. Such gentle strength that spoke of dignity so bold. Your frame is smaller, thinner, now quietly and gently still in its noble glow. You leave no remnants, dear granddaddy, for you live in each of us, having taught us each how to live and love. Sweet peace, your battles are won. And that was for my grandfather. Okay. Okay. This one, yeah, I've read this before. Broadway Symphony. For those who don't know, Broadway was a very high-profile street in East Baltimore and had fallen on bad times. And as poverty overtook and the people who were, I don't want to say less than the people who had a hard time with joblessness, homelessness, drugs and so forth, crime came in, and then all of a sudden the area became very what's the word I'm looking for? The powers that be found that Broadway would be to their benefit, and they started gentrification. Yeah, so, okay. This is called Broadway Symphony. And the place I'm talking about, Johns Hopkins University, mm-hmm. Johns Hopkins Hospital took it over. Anyway, okay.
Yeah, the gentrification.
Okay. Street Corner Symphony, playing on Broadway. No advance tickets needed. Showtimes every day, from sunup to sundown, from dawn to dusk, open seating for everyone on a littered strewn lawn. Come hear the haunting melodies of broken bodies and minds. Due to wide audience acceptance, Street Corner Symphony performed all the time. There's bass man Mel, his belly swollen from alcohol, and brass man Sam, who's reed thin and tall, body emaciated from drugs, and all that goes with being a black man in this liberty and justice for all freedom land, with the number one obsession being his degradation and fall. When asked how they came to join the group, the answer came in unison from the troop. The advertisement read, black man wanted, job for life. Leave your family troubles. Put behind you the stress and strife. No worries, woes, or cares. We'll put your woman and child on a steady check from welfare. They thought it was a good game. Since they only made minimum wage, not enough to raise a family, and they were tired of feeling caged. So clouded was their memory of a truism we all know too well. The last hired are the first fired. So from lost dignity comes the rage in rhythms of pain and melodies of blue on Baltimore's Broadway Avenue. Okay. Oh, this is terrible. I found another one of those. I'm gonna make a booklet and just call it divorce. This is really, really short. The many uses of Vaseline. While he primped in the mirror and doused himself with cologne, I smeared the driver's seat with Vaseline, so there would be no mistaking that he was a slick ass cheating on me. That's it.
That's a good one.
Oh, Lordy. Okay, this is another very short one. Called inertia. I shouldn't be trying to give a definition when I only half know it in my head. You know what inertia is, everybody, anybody? I can't explain it. It's like...
it's one of those earth forces that...
Right,
that
right. It's like... Go ahead.
But I can't explain it, but I know what it
Me
is.
Me either. It's like that centrifugal force in a bucket, like if you swing a bucket of water around, but the water
in
doesn't
the water.
Come out.
Yeah, it's one of those earth forces.
Yeah. So this is really short. This called inertia. Once proud people, now accepting of garbage-strewn lawns, piss-stained hallways, and broken children. That's it. That's where we happen to be.
That was those towers, those high-rise apartment complexes there in Baltimore that they imploded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's what that reminded me of. I had church members live in them.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Okay. Okay, I'm flipping.
While you flipping, the blues, to me, that was our therapy. You went to those places, you heard people talking about the issues, singing about the issues that you had to deal with. And when you walked out of there, you felt a lot better than you did when you went in, because somebody else is going through something similar to what you're going through. And it's sort of, and now there is no blues anymore, Holly. Blues speakeasies and those places, those after-hour places and those hole in the walls. That was where people went to get their therapy.
That's a good way to look at it. And thought of that.
Hello?
Yeah. But just think about the blues and what the people are saying. And the people sitting there, they just mesmerize. And then whenever they leave, they feel better about themselves.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Alrighty. I get mixed reaction when I do this poem, but I just say to each his own. But this, a lot of people have different ideas of who Jesus was and what he stood for. Anyway, this is called a call to lead. Black preacher, stop shouting and condemning your flocks to hell and damnation. you, like them, almost welcome the unknown of death, for in real life we live a daily hell. Black preacher, stop touting that blue-eyed Jesus. It's no longer enough to pacify and please us. Black Jesus, excuse me, black preacher, stop shouting, someday we will have ours. My Jesus was a brother, strong, an active rebel, correcting wrongs. Stop shouting and touting, black preacher, rocking us to a dreamless sleep. Lead, preacher man, lead us to the promised land. Hope it didn't offend anybody, but that's how I feel.
While you didn't offend people, people take time to sit and reflect on what you just said and look at the situation and circumstances over the last 100 years. We come into an understanding of how religion was used to control and how the man told us, don't worry about having anything when you are here on this earth. You're going to get yours when you die and go to heaven. But yet, he had lived in the mansion. He had the fine cars. His children went to the best schools and all of that. That was why they were here. So I don't see anything. I see that as more of a reflection of the current reality of people of color than anything else. Yeah, and I'm one of them retired United Methodist pastors who is now non-denomination.
Okay. I like your commentary, Mr. Willie.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, do I have time for another one?
Yeah, you've got 7 minutes.
Okay, 7 minutes. Okay. I can't read my own writing. I've been saying for a year I was going to get a computer. I'm going to go get a laptop tomorrow. Why are you
LOL. Laugh out loud.
I am. I'm going to, because I can't, I have a lot of papers that I have handwritten, you know. I can't read my writing in this. And if I lose that piece of paper, it's gone, you know. It's time for me to get on the good foot. Okay, here's something I can, wait a minute. Okay, this is very short, too, but I wrote it about rap music. And so these next two, this should take us to the end. This first one is called Genocide. It's about rap music. Hip-hop's misogynistic, vulgar renderings, loud, repugnant, relentlessly fill the airwaves, killing the children. Okay. And my last one for the evening. This is really, this is going to make you laugh. This is called Baltimore Directory. When looking for my house, look for the landmarks. Just follow the trail of overflowing trash cans and blue plastic bags flying like balloons or hanging on the branches like leaves. Just past the second pile of eviction trash, the pile with a Beyonce poster, make a right. Go 2 more blocks and then park by Big Bill's Liquors right next to the Amen Church of God. If Big Bill's lot is full, because it usually is, park on the other side of the church in the New York Fried Chicken lot. That's it.
Oh.
Didn't that describe it?
Yeah, yeah. And the sad thing about it is it described most urban areas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
That's true. Oh, before we go to, it just made me think of, in North Carolina, which is a load state, meaning you can carry your weapon. But don't you think that's the dumbest, what's it called?
Open carry.
Yeah.
Open carry.
Okay. Well, you know, they also had passed this thing where they have areas in downtown, they have blocks, not one block, but blocks, where people can walk and drink liquor openly.
Yep. They got
and
that
you're
here.
In a, and then you've got the other people carrying guns because it's their right to carry it openly. Now, as crazy as people are today, I think that was the dumbest thing they ever came up with, is to have open liquor. And alcohol affects people in the most negative ways, I think, you know.
Yeah.
And it's yeah. just like an accident waiting to happen, you know. Anyway, that was on my mind. I don't know why. Because summer's coming and people are going to be drinking, and it's just crazy.
Crazy.
You know, road rage is bad enough. Now you're talking about you got the freedom to sit down and drink as much as you want out in the open. You know, that makes sense to me. Well, folks, I thank you all for tuning in, listening. I wish all of you the best, especially my peers as we go through the challenges of aging.
Yes.
And I wanted to say something, but I'm not because I don't feel like crying. But one thing I do know is life is a challenge until the end. And just kind of the best you can be prepared for it, you know. But I thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the poetry. And I'm going to get a computer. And the next time I talk to you, I'm going to have my computer, Mr. Willis.
Good for you.
Well, what would the old people say about it? How would they say it? I believe it when I see it.
Yeah, that's
that
one of them. Seeing is believing.
Believing.
I know.
Okay.
I know. I've been saying it for over a year, but I'm going to get one. I'm going tomorrow. Okay, my dears.
All right.
Thank you so
All right.
much. Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.